Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life.
Who are you? Let me just ask you that again. Who are you? Bozo on the bus just like the rest of us? Are you a seeker? Do you know that you are a spark of God? Of a good relationship with intentions and goals is keeping in mind that the primary aim of setting and working towards those goals is to feel the way you want to feel. The external things we want to have and do and experience, those are your secondary goals, all of which will get you back to the whole cosmic point, experiencing your core desired feelings. Underpinning of manifestation.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to America Meditating Radio. I'm your host, Sister Jenna. We're broadcasting from the beautiful Meditation Museum in the nation's capital. If you happen to ever be in town, just stop on in. There's consistent meditation taking place in the space, and I guarantee you that you won't leave the same. I hope today finds you well and you are absolutely thriving and being your best, not on the standards of other people. I was having a discussion with the staff today and it was such a weird thing that emerged from my lips, and the whole conversation was about, you know, no matter how much you turn to certain people who you think are supposed to help you, it's the people that you've been with that have been there for you through thick or thin is who you should turn to. The ones who might be complaining a little bit more than the detached observer, the one who might call you out on your issues a little bit more than the ones that are living 10,000 miles away from you. But be there for the people who are dealing with you and your issues all the time. Don't go to outside sources all the time. Unless you're really looking for an answer for your transformation, not for a Band-Aid. I hope that's making sense to you. We turn to people outside for Band-Aids, and still the sore is there, the disease is there, and we're not addressing it ourselves. Now, people in our lives would have been telling us over and over again, don't do this, be this, do this. I remember growing up in my own spiritual journey. Gosh, I think it was every day I got a critique. Every day that it reached a point that I thought, oh my God, how in the world did this awakening even happen for me? Maybe I'm not supposed to even be in this. Maybe this is the greatest setup of all times. But what I realize is that criticism cannot also be the greatest aspect of praise. For me, if you praise me, I'm going to get very lazy. Oh, okay, I've arrived. But if you critique me or you really give me some negative feedback on something, it's like it drives me to be better. And I started to acknowledge that there must be some good somewhere in me so deeply that when someone or something from the outside says, you're not good enough, you're not worthy enough, you don't belong to us, and it's like, oh yeah, I feel that I do though. And so you've got to begin to listen to these signals that your body, your soul, your mind, the people closest to you are telling you. Now, I'm not telling you 100% to trust the people around you about everything they say. Because what happens, everyone, sometimes their attachment to you makes them focus only on what's weak in you, even though they love you. But you'll only hear them talk about what's wrong with you. So you want to be very, very sensible and discerning, that you hear what they're saying and check it for yourself and go, are they right? Do I really need to be a little bit more mindful in how I care about people or what I say to people? And use it as an opportunity to heal, not Band-Aid yourself. Heal yourself, folks. We're in an auspicious year with a lot of auspicious opportunities, and we're being called to being our absolute strongest that we can possibly be, because we're going to go through a lot, especially in these upcoming few. City is dramatic. If you are a knower of subtle energies, as I am in my teachings of Raj Yoga meditation, it has certainly taught me about the power of thought. And whatever thoughts you're creating, it is manifesting a vibration outside of you. So the condition of the world that we're in right now, all of us are responsible for what's going on. So that means each and every one of us have to step up, step in, and make that change. Speaking about change, today we're going to be talking to Georgia Woodbine, and she is widely known as a change agent, author, lifestyle transformation coach, and a dynamic and entertaining speaker. Georgia has been featured in media outlets such as The Daily News, Huffington Post, Rolling Out Magazine, and more. And she's created curriculum and lectured at The Learning Annex, one of the premier producers of seminars, lectures, classes, and workshops throughout North America. Georgia has also been a guest speaker at Time Warner Cable, various network organizations, and much more. She has authored several books and has over 15 years of entrepreneurial business success, as well as an extensive marketing background working in the entertainment industry with Def Jam, PolyGram, Black Enterprise Magazine, and even our lovely Apollo Theater. Today, it gives me great privilege to welcome Georgia Woodbine to the air. Hi, Georgia. Welcome, my sister. How are you?
Hello, Sister Jenna. Thanks for having me.
Oh, gosh. My fortune to have you. You're making some differences out there, and so it always makes us feel grateful that we've got individuals like you who can amplify inspiration and forward movement for a lot of us who might be like, oh, should I not? Oh, well, this is going against me and I really need to fix this. Like, okay, has any one of us really had it absolutely perfectly easy? No. And if we did, we'd have been bums.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. You know, it's so true. Go ahead, what were you going to say?
No, you were just going to say it's so true that we need challenges sometimes, right?
We do. You know, when we're challenged, it forces us to grow. And when sometimes it is when we're challenged where maybe something dramatic happens, where it's a loss of a job or a loss of a loved one or loss of something that forces us to start thinking about, well, where am I right now in my life and what do I need to change? And sometimes you have to be pushed up against the wall because sometimes you're just going along like, okay, everything's great. And then you realize everything's not great. I don't feel great, you know. And that's what really forces us to say, okay, let me look at my life and let me look at what I can do better.
Right, right. Now, I understand that you've gone through a series of physical, some emotional challenges that ultimately empowered you to become an active advocate for women's health. What was the turning point for you? How did it all change for you, Georgia?
I think when I was going through the health issues, I wasn't even aware how serious it was until I ended up in the hospital. And then at that time, I was still at a job that I was really stressed out about. And this is one of the things I always tell people. Sometimes external stress can create internal problems health-wise. And, you know, I was really unhappy about where I was. And I just felt like there was something greater in me and I didn't know what it was. And I could have been fighting it through the physical part. And so I had to make a decision. You know, I said, do I want to go back to this stressful situation with a boss that I didn't really felt like he appreciated my worth, my value, what I could offer to the organization, or I could travel the unknown? And I think that that is the hardest for any individual to go in a direction of not knowing what's going to happen next. But I share my story because it can be the thing that ever happened to you. You know, if you don't try something different, then you can't see something different. We have to change our mindset, our behavior patterns, our thought process. That is the only way we're going to transform our lives. So I had to make a decision, and I said, do I want to go back to this or do I want to try something different? Is it scary? Yes. Am I fearful? Yes. Do I feel like I just don't want to fail or, you know, start over again? Yes. We're human. We're going to feel that. But when you take that step in that new direction, it starts to open you up to so many new possibilities.
I love that. You know, sometimes our body does signal to us what's going on, but we're so busy that we don't really catch the signal. It doesn't really, you don't catch it. The other day, yesterday, I took a day of solitude and I asked family, staff, everyone, just leave me alone, not as a negative. But I had noticed that 2-3 days or a week, I've just been not my beautiful self inside. I don't count my external features as beauty. For me, beauty is an inner work. And I wasn't feeling like a nice person. And there were just people in situations that just kept appearing, which was distracting me from even just appreciating life. It was like odd things. It's kind of like waking up one day and hearing number 45 is in charge of the United States of America and the world. You're like, oh my God, what do you do with that? You know what I mean? And you're just dealing with a lot of things. And you're like, it's different. This isn't you. You know, this isn't you. This isn't where I'm going. And even if these are people that you love and respect and who love and respect you, when you find yourself not being your best internally, you've got to move out of that energy to get your truth back. It has nothing to do with them. It's about you. And so here's my question to you is that did you ever reach that point internally where you could feel something within you needed change? Because in your book, Total BS, Body and Soul, you talk about your beginning stages of meditation and how challenging it was for you and what were some of the benefits that you had realized that helped you to maybe be a better version of yourself.
Well, when I share my personal experiences and how I was able to overcome many of the obstacles, setbacks, disappointments, and I learned through meditation how to become one with myself, I had to surrender all preconceived notions of who I thought I was or even who I thought I should be. And once I started meditating and learning how to live in my present moment and started to embrace the cycles of change in my life, even when they were painful, that's when I became one with true self. I was no longer bound by negative energies that held me hostage, or, you know, I was able to begin to learn how to control my thoughts and emotion. And once I did that, Sister Jenna, I became so liberated. I became liberated from the dark forces of energy that was holding me hostage, such as fearing the unknown or feeling anxiety of where my next paycheck was going to come, or just even being resistance, that resistance of being anxious, of wanting to things to happen quick and fast and it have microwave results. You know, that's what really brought me to that oneness. And one of the things with sharing my stories and my teachings with others is that meditation for me is where it all started, because it helped me to balance and control my thoughts. And I always teach people that you can generate that power to manifest and create the life you love. You can use that same power to change anything that you want to change, whether it's your physical appearance, whether it's your career, whether it's your finances, whether it's your personal relationships. You can do it through this particular process that actually helped me to realize my power and my value.
Absolutely. That was very, very well said. You know what? Where I first saw you was from a friend of mine who does a public access program, LMCTV with Cicely. And Cicely, occasionally she says, Sister Jenna, I think you might like this conversation, or, you know, give me some thought or feedback. And that's where I first saw you. So imagine, it was just a really simple public access program. But upon me being able to just visualize and listen to your conversation, I was just like, I like her. I like the way that she's showing up. Because as you're moving along in life, there are a lot of naysayers in your journey, isn't it? Like a lot of people who are just like backward, and they're like, oh, you can't do that, because they can't do it. So you talk a lot about the power of forgiveness, and you say that attaining personal freedom is not possible without forgiveness. Why is forgiveness so important for our personal freedom?
Well, when you hold on to forgiveness, it's almost like you're holding on to pain. And if you're going to have new growth or new experiences, you have to let go of that emotion. That emotion is holding you hostage, that anger. You know, it's a lot of resentment, a lot of jealousy, a lot of anger when you hold on to that. And when you learn to forgive others, it's really not so much about the other person. It's about you, because you could be holding on to something and this person has totally forgotten about it. And year after year, month after month, year after year, you're still dealing with this feeling of holding on to something that's not serving you any purpose. And so in life, we do have to let go of things that don't serve us anymore, like, you know, not forgiving somebody, because that's just going to hurt you internally. That's going to prevent you from moving forward. So forgiveness is crucial in success and moving forward and feeling free and becoming free. You cannot be free if you're still holding on to all those negative emotions. So that's really what it's about. It's the negative emotions that's tied to not forgiving somebody and not letting them go that's going to hold you up.
It's so interesting that sometimes we feel like if we forgive the person, they get away with it. One, we have to forgive, and that requires a lot of inner humility. And most importantly, perhaps we have to forgive for lacking the discernment required to have even engaged in a connection with a particular soul, knowing that there were certain things. I remembered I was working with a team of filmmakers, and I knew in my heart, I go, I know these guys are crooked, but I think I can watch them until I get to a particular point. And sure enough, I could see that their crookedness would emerge, and I just knew. I says, Jen, you knew this was going to be a 9 out of a 10% that these men were going to be crooked. You knew it. So there's no getting upset with them. There's no getting upset with you.
Mm-hmm.
Om Shanti is a quote that we use, a mantra that we use in the Brahma Kumaris. Move on, move on. It's not to say I didn't feel like I was hoping that my energy would have transformed them into better people of values and ethics.
Right.
But then
right.
that's also your ego. So sometimes you've got to really develop the courage and the humility to forgive you first in order to really forgive others, don't you think?
Absolutely. It always starts with forgiving ourselves, because sometimes we'll go through life saying, you know, feeling a certain way about a certain situation, and you have to let it go. You have to let things go. You cannot move forward until you let things go. And when you learn to let things go, you realize it wasn't that serious to begin with. It wasn't that deep. But I put all this energy into something, and I built this big thing, a big circle of energy, of negative energy, around something that didn't have to be formed in the first place. So it's really us forgiving ourselves and forgiving the other person and saying, you know what, because you something can happen, a situation with you and someone can do something to you that hurts, that's painful. And yes, we understand that. And we have to learn that we cannot control how other people act, what other people do, how other people react. We can only control ourselves. So we have that power to choose how we will react and respond. And that choice is going to affect our emotions and our feelings and our being. So we have a choice.
Right. And that's all connected to our karma field, isn't it? That, you know, we're traveling with karmas of our past and also the karmas of the future that are pulling us to. And that's what sometimes make our present choices sort of complex. It's really easy, you know, just be honest, just be pure-hearted. Let it not be about you or them, but let it be about us. And when we have to make decisions from that place, we find that there's another force, another kind of energy pushing at us at the same time, creating the intention in our choices to be mixed. And then the result still comes out a little mixed. When it comes on to money, a lot of people sell out their souls. And in one of the books that you authored, How to Make Big Bucks Without Selling Your Soul, suggests that, you know, for those who are struggling to make ends meet, chasing after material wealth, you can still do it without selling your soul out. Can you share with us a little bit about how folks can do that? Because it takes a longer time to go the straight and narrow path versus the crooked and short term.
Right. Well, one of the things I talk about when in one of my classes, which is entitled Create the Life You Love, I talk about, like, once you accomplish getting things you want, you always have a desire for more. So what is the one thing most people want? It's love. It's to be loved. It's to be accepted. It's to be respected, appreciated. And oftentimes we strive for these external things to fulfill a void in our lives. And so the more possessions we own, the more emotional fear we have of losing them, because we're always trying to stay ahead. So it becomes harder to let go of things because of the comfort or the security or the status quo that it brings. So there's nothing wrong with having a desire for something, as long as you understand that material items are things that you want, not need. And a lot of times when people want things, it's really about that feeling. It's about that excitement of, oh, I can accomplish this. Oh, I can have this. I can do this. I can be this. It's that experience of that feeling that we want. And more people want that feeling. And so they think by having these material things, it's going to give them that feeling. Will it give them the feeling? Yes, but it's a temporary feeling. It doesn't last, because once you get used to this thing and comfortable with this thing, you're on to the next. So there are ways that we can create that feel-good experience in so many other ways, because that's what people are really after. It's that feel-good experience. So one of the things that I share is, how can we find more of the feel-good experience and not worry about the external material things to get us to a place of oneness where we can have that freedom and that peace and that joy and that happiness and experience more of that. And it is through the simple things that you can get that feeling. But if you're so caught up and you're in it, like you say, Virginia, we get so caught up the way that things have always been done that we lose track. You know?
Absolutely.
We lose track.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And just the current times that we're in, it's just selling us so much illusion. You know, we call it Maya, and so much of Maya is just everywhere, 24/7, in our homes, outside of our homes, and at the grocery stores, on the front page of the Inquirer or Cosmopolitan or Vogue. I was telling a sister, a young girl the other day, she was about 20, and she just bought every copy of Vogue. She just loves what the girls are wearing, the name brands. I said, it's an illusion. It's not who you are. Trust me. Don't put your family through that expense. They are marketing this to make you think that if you don't look or dress like this, you're nothing. It's not true.
Right.
It is the way you are as a person. It's your spirit of goodness that will make you into a valuable person. So let's talk about your efforts to give back to the community. You created the Keys to Success Angel Club. What's the mission? What's the vision? Let us hear about it to see if we can jump on board if we wish to.
Sure. Well, the Angel Club was created because I wanted a way to give back to the community, so I created this part of my organization where I offer the customers a certain percentage off of the products and that money. So I also have a membership where they pay $50 for the year, and then that money goes through donating products, these motivational informational products to women's shelters or to mentor young people. And I feel like it's been such a great feeling for me to be able to give back to the community, because I think that's really what it's all about. There's so many people that's searching, and sometimes it could just be a few words that can change somebody's life. It could be something that someone identifies with you that makes them feel like, I can be better, I can do better, I can change, you know, change my habits, change my thoughts, change my feelings. So that part of the organization I'm very happy about, the Keys to Success Angel Club. So people, they pay a membership for the year, and then I donate products every year to a different organization. I've donated to a lot of shelters, to women organizations, to mentoring programs for students. So it's been a really good feeling to be able to do that.
Well, thank you. I'm just so proud of the work that you're doing and the way that you're showing up in the world. So lots of continued success, and stay true, stay pure-hearted, always remain courageous, and know that you're enough. Leave us with a website where we can find more information about you and your work.
Thank you. So my website is www.georgiawoodbine.com. And I just want to mention that I am doing a free live webinar. It's entitled Create the Life You Love, and coming up in March, so they could go to the website. So whatever the date is, they could always, there's always going to be an upcoming webinar. So they can go to my Facebook page as well to make sure that they tune in. So that's something that could also provide some really important tools to help them on having that transformation in their life.
Fantastic. Georgia Woodbine, thank you for joining us on America Meditating. Take good care, sweet sister.
Thank you. You take care.
Bye-bye. All right. So listen, guys, it's about time we got to believe in ourselves. Feel the body, feel the soul, make some changes. Go to georgiawoodbine.com for more information. She's got some really nice free stuff there also available for you. It's so refreshing when these young women can be talking in this way and looking at their lives completely in a way in which the sages and the saints, we used to hear the way they talked to us. It was like we had to wait until we were 60 or 70 years old to move into our truth. Forget spirituality, just to move into our truth, to be a truth person, a person of beauty and grace and kindness and generosity. This is what spirituality is. I don't know why a lot of people shy away from the word spirituality. You know, it's like they go, woo woo, the 60s, tie dye, marijuana, free this. It's no, spirituality means a person who expresses kindness, love, gentleness, power, wisdom, truth, beauty, grace, clarity. They know how to make choices that make a positive difference. This is what it means to be a spiritual person. And if you say you're not spiritual, then you don't believe in any of that. You won't believe in any of that. So please get used to the word. Feel it as to be your name, like Tom, John, Mary, Jane, LaQuanda. Just feel it to be your nature. I am a spiritual person. And when you say that, it's because I believe in the natural nature of the human soul. Remember, no one can take away your happiness, dear ones, unless you give them permission. And we really are here to love each other the same, so let's do that a little bit more. And please get a copy of my latest CD, Your Inner World Guided Meditation, available everywhere online, and let me know how you feel about it, too. I know that for me, I really liked it a lot. All right, so here are some of our sponsors of today's program, and I'm going to end the show with a song by Bliss called You. Take care, everyone.
Hello, I am Dr. Margaret Fitzpatrick, president of St. Thomas Aquinas College, a vibrant, student-centered institution located in the New York City metropolitan area. St. Thomas Aquinas College provides a quality education in our schools of arts and science, business, and education. Enroll at St. Thomas Aquinas College, where we promote social responsibility through community engagement and create responsible citizens and leaders. Visit us at www.stac.edu.
Sacred Space is a safe space drop-in center for youth seeking a place to be, to find a short refuge from violence or an abusive environment, to find loving kindness, compassion, and to experience the creative medicine of art and expression. It is a place of the heart and soul awakening. Sacred Space in Sacramento, California, an innovative program by our community, all for one and one for all.
Like a smile.
I'm Sister Jenna. You've been listening to America Meditating Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Did you enjoy that conversation? Because you can also listen to it on Spotify or in iTunes, 24/7, anytime, anywhere. I do trust we all have inner power to become our very best. When we listen with curiosity to learn more, we grow. So thanks so much for tuning in, and do be easy on yourself. Take care.